like to invite you this morning to express your thanksgiving to this beautiful music ministry that we have in this church under the direction of Brent. The older I'm getting, the more I want to take time to smell the roses and show appreciation when it's due. We are truly, truly blessed here at East Naples. And God is doing a lot of great things. I know that we tend to concentrate on all the negative things that happen in our lives. But during this Lent season, one of the things that I'm fasting from, if I may be vulnerable and tell you, it's complaining. And instead, using that time to thank God and to show appreciation. So help me with that. Hold me accountable to that. Scripture this morning comes to us from the book of John. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, and then verse 14. How about if we read it together? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. May the Lord bless his word this morning. He was just a little boy on the first day of the week. He was wandering home from Sunday school and playing along the creek. He scuffed his shoes into the grass. He found a caterpillar, a bird's nest in a tree overhead. So wisely placed on high was just another wonder that caught his eager eye. A neighbor watched his zigzagging along and called him from his lawn. He asked him, "Where have you been? And what's going on?" "I've been to Sunday school," he said. And turn a piece of sod, he picked up a wiggly worm and said, "I've learned a lot about God." Very fine way," the neighbor said, "for a boy to spend his time. If you will tell me where God is, I'll give you a brand new dime." Quick as a flash, the answer came. Nor were his words faint. "I'll give you a dollar, mister, if you tell me where he ain't." There is an essential question we ask at critical points or times in our lives, especially when we are control freaks and we have everything planned out in our lives. And we know when we're going to retire, where are we going to spend retirement, what are we going to do the first years of retirement, all the countries we're going to visit, all the money we're going to spend that we haven't spent for so long because we were spending it on our kids. And all of a sudden the phone rings. It's the doctor's office to inform us that that test came back positive and they found cancer. That wasn't planned. And one of the first questions as we go through the shock is, where is God? I've been a good person. I was at church every Sunday. I was the head of the council. Where is God? My friends, God is everywhere. He's omnipresent. This means present everywhere at the same time. He is the creator of the universe. This means that he's present in creation and that he reveals himself through his creation as well. Psalm 19, 1 and 2 reads, "The heavens declare the glory of the Lord, and the firmament shows his handiwork." And he wants us to know him intimately. Psalm 98, 2, "The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations." And then Hebrews 4 and Isaiah 6, we read that God rules the world from his throne. The verses of scripture we read this morning tells us that Jesus and God are one. And the Apostle John reminds us in verse 1 that before time began, Jesus was present with the Father and the Holy Spirit. That there is harmony and perfect unity among the three. There's communion. And the translation of the Greek word logos in English is word, which means thought, concept, expression, revelation. In this verse, the Logos is personified as Jesus, who is an expression, a revelation of God, his Father. One day when the disciples were with him, one of them, Philip, said to him, "Jesus, show us the Father." And Jesus said, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." It is important for us to understand that Jesus, the Word, was not an afterthought, as some people think. That God messed up and then he created Jesus and then Jesus came to dwell among us. As we read this morning, he was with the Father since the beginning of time in the activity of creation. And this is what theologians call the pre-existence of Christ. Verse 4 tells us, "In Jesus was life, and the life was the light of men." The word life here means salvation and deliverance. In the words of one of my favorite theologians, William Barclay, he said, number one, the light of Jesus puts chaos into flight. When he comes into our lives filled with darkness, turmoil, he brings order. He guides us. And chaos dissipates. Number two, the light of Jesus brings revelation to our souls. The Bible says that spiritual things can only be spiritually discerned. It is when we spend time reading the Word, studying the Word, attending Bible study groups or small groups, sharing the Word of God, that the Holy Spirit reveals his truth to us. And we're able to have a closer walk with Jesus. When we read the Gospels, we see that the people that came to Jesus and accepted his message, his light into their lives, They experienced a mighty transformation. Because my friends, what good is it to come and sit in the same pew? I know you. You sit in the same pew, and that helps me out because I'm able to go back and look at the directory and put names to the faces. But what good is it to come Sunday after Sunday and come in and go out the same way we came without being transformed by the power of His Word? The gospel of Jesus Christ is good news because it transforms us. It changes us as we allow His light to come into our lives. People that met Jesus while He was here on earth and opened their lives to Him were transformed. Matthew, a tax collector, who was first named Levi, and then later on his name was changed to Matthew, which means the gift of God. And he collected taxes for the Roman government. He had a bad reputation, a reputation of extortion and malpractice. And one day he was sitting on his booth collecting taxes. And Jesus came back and started a conversation with him and invited him to follow him. Imagine that, a sinner. Right away he got up. He followed Jesus. He invited Jesus into his home for dinner. Great hospitality. When was the last time you invited a sinner into your home? Yesterday, praise the Lord. You know, we got to be careful with that. We're so heavenly minded, we're no earthly good. We only want to rub elbows with Christians. How are we going to be able to shine our light and let others come to know Him if we don't befriend those who are out there without Christ? Jesus spent time with sinners. And He told them once He came to save that which was lost. And so, in this situation, Jesus goes into Matthew's house. They're having dinner. And the teachers of the law, the religious people, they're still around here. Right away, they started pointing fingers. Not only is He talking to sinners, now He's sitting down and eating with them. Go figure. See, Matthew's life was so radically changed that he went from a tax collector to a soul collector for Jesus. A fisher of men, that includes men, women, children. He became one of the 12 disciples. Because you see, while people look at our outward appearance, Jesus looks at the heart, our inner potential. Matthew had a unique gift. He was detailed oriented. He was a great observer. He was a record keeper. And later on, the Holy Spirit used these gifts that he already had 20 years later to write one of the Gospels, the book of Matthew. And it is believed that he too died as a martyr for Christ. So let us not allow the outward appearance to really control us. The light of Jesus in our lives brings order, revelation, guidance, just as he did for Matthew. Because you see, the perfect communion between the Son, the Father, and the Holy Spirit is one that we too need to pray for. And that's why Jesus is able to tell us and show us the Father. This is why Jesus took human form and he came into the world. He came to reveal to us the Father. And through his death and resurrection, he has given us abundant and eternal life for us to enjoy here and now, because he cares for us. He loves us. And through Christ, we come to know the divine love of God for us. No one has ever loved us like God loves us. Verse 14 tells us that the Word, Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw his glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. While Jesus was fully God, he was fully human while he was here on earth, apart from sin. And theologians call this the God-man. He was the only one adequate to be our Savior. He had to be human in order to suffer and die. And he had to be God to make that death effective, an effective payment for our sins. And I know that our carnal minds have a hard time understanding these concepts. That's why we must receive it by faith. Back in those days, in the Greek and Roman world, this reality was a monstrosity. They couldn't understand it. Their finite minds couldn't comprehend it. Because these were Greek philosophers, Stoic, great thinkers. They thought they had everything figured out. And sometimes we feel the same way. We think that because of all the education and because of all the money and because of all that we own, or because we can Google anything and find the answer, we can figure it all out. Why in the world would God take human form through Jesus Christ and come to earth to deal with mere finite mortals? One word: love. He came to demonstrate the love of the Father for his children. He came to show us his glory. It was already happening in the Old Testament when the Hebrew children were out in the desert. Remember the fire? By day and by night, that was the glory of God. In Hebrew, the word is Shekinah. It's not in the Bible, but that's what it means. It was the glory of God leading them, guiding them. And in the New Testament, we just read it in John 1:14, and also it's in Colossians 2:9. In Christ, God display his glory. And the amazing thing is that he didn't keep his glory. He gives it to us so that we can share it with others. You and I are called to be conduits of his glory. As the Apostle Paul said, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Where is God? He's everywhere. He lives in us. The answer to this question depends on our spiritual status. If you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He lives in your heart, as the little boy answered earlier today. If we're walking according to His word, the answer is Emmanuel, God is with me. God is with us. He lives in us. He's around us, above us, beneath us. We're celebrating St. Patrick's life. He had a wonderful prayer that I pray every so often. It's a long prayer. I don't pray the whole thing. I just pray part of it. It's called the breastplate prayer. It is a binding prayer for protection. And part of it says, Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ within me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me. Christ in my right, Christ in my left, I bind myself to Christ. If you're a child of God, He's with you. However, if you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, take courage. Because God is still behind you and around you, wooing you to come to the Father. This is what we Methodists call prevenient grace. That grace that invites us to Him. He's waiting for us. While we might be asking, where is God? He's asking us, where are you in relation to me? Hebrews 4:13 tells us, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. In those hard times where our faith gets shaken and we ask, where is God? And people around us ask us, where is your God now? It is my prayer that we will be able to say, He is with me, still around me, still within me. The saints of old used to confess with great certainty, and He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me that I am His own. May it be so still today. May we still have the conviction, no matter what it looks like, no matter how dark it gets, that He is with us. Let us pray. Father God, thank You for sending Jesus in the fullness of time, at the appropriate time, to come into a broken, messed up world, to bring us salvation and redemption. Help us decrease so that You could increase in us. Help us to have the assurance, that inner knowing that You are with us, that we are never alone, and that You are everywhere present. Because You are a mighty God. May we not walk out of these doors today without that blessed assurance, that certainty. That you dwell in us. And indeed, you are mighty to save. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Receive now the blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord fill your heart with his unending peace, grace, love, and joy. Go out in that peace and serve the Lord. Amen.